I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are back. 260-6368 is the number. That's such a predictable thing for me to say. 260-6368. That means give us a call, please. We were talking about vegetables before. What's your favorite vegetable?
My favorite vegetable is... Boy, that's a good question. You know, I'm sitting here trying to decide which one of them.
What's your least favorite vegetable? My
would probably be various kinds of winter squashes that just don't taste like anything. You know, melatons don't taste like much.
They don't. Remember when you used to do that melaton casserole? This started, I think, at Thanksgiving one year, and then you made it for a couple of parties. But what you did was sliced melaton. I think maybe there was parsnips in it. Did that make sense?
That could be, but
and rutabagas
are not
or something. Yeah, it was like a medley of boring vegetables.
But most people don't take them at their own word.
What do you mean? You're talking about melatons
melatons,
rutabagas and such?
Melatons are always being touted as a Cajun Creole item. And
wait, what are they called? They're called alligator pears? I think my mom used to call them pears.
My mother used to call
avocados. Those were avocados that had the bright green. Yeah. Oh, no. Okay. Wrong. Never mind. There's another name for it. Chayote?
Chayotes are the same thing as
melatons.
Melatons.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've got that big nothing seed in it. You know, I don't like them.
No?
But if you... Anything that, I mean, honestly, if something has such little flavor, it has no color, it has no seeming purpose, then how many nutrients can you be getting from it? You know what I mean? So I would say that if you used this vegetable and stuffed it with a whole bunch of stuff, that would be fine, you know? But why? If you're not, you know, if you're not going to get much in terms of nutrient value, what's the point? It's kind of a lot to stuff something.
Well,
you know
people like to stay in the hip crowd, you know?
Yeah, but I don't think that's all that hip. I think most people kind of ignore that, actually. I wonder if it was battered and fried, if it could be like a fried eggplant with a sauce. I mean, it would be okay if you had the proper kind of sauce with it.
There are eggplant dishes that I just think are great, like Italian-style.
Like lasagna, eggplant lasagna?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. When you made eggplant lasagna, did you make it with actual pasta, or was it just layered eggplant, cheese,
you can do it that way.
Sauce?
You can do it that way, where you just throw the macaroni or whatever you're using into the middle of the pot with the
I used to do that. I would do the pasta. What I would do to make eggplant lasagna would be that I would take eggplant and I would bread it. But then I realized, why bread it? That's like adding extra calories. What's the point of that? So then I just would take the eggplant and put it on the griddle that we had, the attachment for the, you know, for the cooktop. And then I would cook it there, and then I'd layer it with pasta and red sauce and cheese.
Yeah, you could do it. That's basically lasagna.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was eggplant lasagna, and I made that for a while. And I do like that, but I don't really like eggplant.
You don't?
I'm trying to think of any iteration of eggplant that I would say, oh, eggplant,
to
the table.
I like all those Italian red sauce things. I think they come out great.
Well, you know why?
Especially
because
they
taste like the Italian red sauce, not because of the eggplant.
Well, okay.
it's the Italian red sauce and not the eggplant.
We will have to go and check this out, because I can tell you that there is something to the layers of sauce and the layers of cheese and the layers of pasta. And it comes out great.
Is Doug talking
to us? Gregory is on the phone.
Okay. Yeah, I can't hear anything Doug's saying. Hi, Gregory.
Yeah?
Hello. Hello, Marianne. Hello, Mr. Tom. Uncle Tom,
hello.
Rather.
Uncle Tom?
Hope y'all had a good weekend.
Yeah, we sure did over here.
Did you go to the fried chicken thing?
No, I didn't do the fried chicken thing. No, not over the weekend. I did something different. I grilled. But I loved your first hour talking about Covey Rise. And it brought back
I didn't know that much about Covey Rise. Did you?
Oh, sure. About 20 years ago when they were really getting in gear. I mean, a lot of the produce. But there were also, there was poultry and there was pork being raised up there, too. I know quail. Covey Rise quail was a big item on, it just brings back memories. It's just a
it's
great
a lodge, too. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, that's rather recent. I'm talking about when they started, it must have been 20-something years ago, you know, back in the food scene, having that procurement of such great quality produce and poultry from so close, you know, it kind of reminds me of one of my favorite chefs, the late René Baju, who really, really utilized that stuff. I know Tom remembers Big René. What a terrific guy he was.
Yeah.
And a lot of Susan Spicer was using a lot of their produce, and probably for all I know still does.
Yeah.
But always an interesting show. I just love listening to him talk, you know. I mean, especially a guy like that working for that organization. That's just going to be terrific for the food scene locally.
Well, truth be told, he married into the family and was the executive chef at Redfish Grill and then moved to the North Shore for the reasons that most people move to the North Shore and decided to not make the commute. So it was a great, you know, great segue in his career.
No brainer for him.
Yeah.
But
anyway.
I just remember that name being prominent on a lot of menus. I mean, our produce is, you know, in Covey Rise. Such and such, Covey Rise quail, Covey Rise duck, even duck. They would procure duck, and I'm a big fan of duck. I don't think you like it as much as Tom and I do, Marianne. But
No, let me tell you. I do love duck. It's got to be done a certain way. I don't like the fanned-out breast with the pink in the middle. No, thank you.
I see.
If it is on the bone and it is moist inside, and it is crispy on the outside, I am crazy about duck.
You're making me hungry. I need to get duck this week again. I got to find a good place to
get
duck.
You know who does a great duck? I know, like, people are saying, really? But I mean it. Really.
Oh, I know.
We had a fantastic duck at Andrea's a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. You know what I like about his duck is that on any given day, he has four or five different duck dishes, and they're varied by sauce, and they've always been good. It's been on his menu since the beginning, and I know because I wrote his cookbook.
That makes perfect sense.
Right now he's doing it with a plum sauce because he has plums growing in his yard.
That's right.
And I know he does one with, I think, peaches or apricots or something too, or he'll do it on the rotisserie and just kind of almost lacquer it kind of in a way. I forgot all about how well Andrea does duck.
It's really great.
It's very close by too. That might be something I'll do. Not tonight. I'm all dirty. I've been weeding the garden and trying to pull back. We haven't had any rain, so I've had to irrigate, and I got a huge backyard, so
it's 100 degrees outside, so I hope you waited until it got close to rain.
I just wanted to chime in, and I was just hoping y'all had a good weekend, because I did, and I'm just always glad when you guys are on the air. Hey.
Thank you, Gregory.
Nice hearing
from
you.
So long. Bye, kids.
I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, and Marianne is here, and let's see, anybody else here before we go moving off some other direction? You know, one thing that was brought up in the first part of the program is the whole idea of there were two things.
Vegetables. We were talking about the vegetables.
Yeah, we were trying to
elicit from you your favorite vegetable.
Yeah.
And your least favorite vegetable.
You know what I think it is? I think it's broccoli.
Your least favorite or your favorite?
No, wait. I've just re-decided it immediately. Asparagus.
Yes, I think that is your favorite.
Yeah, that is my
favorite. Naturally, that's my least favorite.
Yeah.
No, I love, I'll tell you what, I think that broccoli,
yeah,
when it is cooked, and I keep saying it because this is absolutely the way to say it, the sweet spot where you put a knife through it, it goes through quickly and comes right out. It's, you don't have to tug it, and it's not mushy. That is the vegetable sweet spot for me. I don't like the crunch. I don't like the squeaking, and I don't like the mush. So the vegetable sweet spot, if you hit that, to me, that's just like the pinnacle of vegetables. And broccoli, I think, done that way, and cauliflower done that way, is pretty close to perfection. And I didn't realize that if you squeezed lemon on broccoli, you really can tweak the flavor in a way that just kicks it up a notch. I didn't realize that. That's what our daughter-in-law's mother, or I should say our son's mother-in-law, does. And it's delicious. It's really, you wouldn't think it. It seems counterintuitive to have lemon on broccoli, but I don't
There's
know what
lot
it does.
Of things you can put on with, yeah, you can add lemon juice to
everything.
The strangest seems like. Thing to me, and it sounds completely non sequitur,
like
non sequitur. Yeah. Okay.
Like a food non sequitur. Go ahead.
Yeah. That would be. Now I've forgotten that about the next thing.
Go back to the original question, Tom. I'm burning to hear your least favorite vegetable now.
No, no, this is we're still working about why it's good to have lemon and steaks, which most people think no, that's dead wrong. You use.
Well, I think that.
Yeah, well, it really really works, and it makes a big difference.
Don't do it. I'm sorry. I'm not buying on that one. I'm not buying that one for a second.
I've been told that
Greg is
on the phone.
Greg's on the phone?
Greg's on the phone. What can I say?
Okay. All right.
What can I say? He's on the... Wait a minute.
How about say nothing and let Greg talk?
Are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can now.
I can hear you okay. Is it coming in easily, or do you have to speak
I
a little
I feel like
louder?
This is sort of like Alexander Graham Bell. Can you hear us okay?
Right,
go ahead.
Roll
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Tell me when.
Hit it.
Marianne.
Marianne.
Hello.
Greg,
Marianne.
Yeah. I can't really hear you because all I can hear is Tom fidgeting. So, Tom, don't move. Greg, go ahead and talk.
All right, so this might be better. I'm not on speaker. So I thought about calling and not calling, and then I called. And the reason I called was not to convince you to change your mind, but to just explain that I am an eggplant nut. And
okay.
So my family, and there's just so many good dishes, eggplant parmesan, thinly sliced with the right amount of mozzarella and perfect tomato, eggplant fries, eggplant and some casserole. And then there's so many varieties of eggplant that give you different flavors. But as much as you like, I would say, comfort food or everyday food, eggplant is just one of those kind of dishes. And we love the eggplant. But I was really glad to hear about the different duck dishes while I was waiting to call at Andrea's. And we've actually been going there quite a bit lately. And he's doing a really good job with his restaurant. Fabulous stuff.
Well, good. He must be on a roll because, you know, it's very inconsistent. I hope he's not listening. It's very inconsistent. And
well, he is, but that's lately the role is good.
Good.
The variety of duck dishes sounds just like I have never had a variety of duck. I don't know if you know any more about what kind of varieties he is.
I don't. I don't. But you know what? How much variety do you need with duck? Is there anything more perfect than a duck that is moist and juicy and properly cooked on the inside and then crispy on the outside, all on the bone? I mean, I don't think it gets better than that.
That's the perfect duck. Then they have duck breast, not with the bone, and they have duck confit.
I like duck confit, but that silly pink breast fanned out to me is just a big zero.
What?
Well, we're going to go there tomorrow night.
Good.
What is this that you're going down to?
I don't like a duck breast fanned out with a pink breast. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how you usually see duck. You usually see duck. I know. And I think it ought to be on the bone. I think it really loses something when you take it off the bone. To me.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing in the world like a crispy duck, half duck cooked that would be crispy on the outside and just smoking juicy on the inside.
Okay, you got it. Go to Andreas and say, I need your duck dish.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Give me some of that rotisserie duck with the crispy skin.
Well, give me and my wife a chance to cook for you and you'll be converted.
Okay. I'm not saying I hate it. I'm not saying that. I mean, I'm trying to think of any vegetable that I just can't eat. I would say that asparagus is very close to that, but I know it's good for me, so when I see it, I'll bite one or two of them. But for the most part, I could
about asparagus. I just can't get into them that much. But I love broccoli, now. Broccoli's good.
Well, you know, anyway. If you have a baby asparagus, you know, a little skinny one, skinny one that is steamed and is served with a really nice citrusy, hollandaise or, you know, any kind of dressing like that. I could do that, but only because it tastes like the aioli or whatever, you know.
That's the only reason. The sauce.
Exactly.
I got it.
Exactly.
All right. Well, it was good talking to you.
Yes, same here. Bye.
Our pleasure. Thank you very much. It's the food show.
I like shaved Brussels sprout salad. Oh, we have another caller?
You have it's a break.
Break time.
But what did you find that you like?
We'll talk when we come back about vegetables. 260-6368. We'll be back. 260-6368. Tell us about your favorite and your least fave vegetable. We started the show talking about vegetables with Covey Rise. Yeah. And so now I'm just kind of curious, what's your favorite vegetable and your least favorite? But first, let us tell you about...
Oh, you're still asking me that?
No, you're not you. No. I'm asking them. But right now, we're going to talk about Porter and Luke. Porter and Luke, right there at 1517 Metairie Road in the shopping center with Oakland Heart and Walgreens. That is where you're going to find, in my opinion, the best club sandwich I've ever had.
So you're going with
their
sandwich.
Do serve it with... a honey mustard dressing, which I don't agree with. I asked them to sub out mayo, which they're happy to do. Comes with delicious fresh cut chips, potato chips. They also have good red beans and rice. Good day for that today with a sausage, pork chop, or ham shank. They have good fried chicken. You have to wait a little while for that, but it is good fried chicken. They have good fried seafood, poor boys. Other sandwiches, a good hamburger, which I keep forgetting to tell you about. It's actually quite a good hamburger. And they have good creamy pastas there and meatballs and spaghetti and a whole bunch of other things. But we have two more spots for Porter and Luke, and we'll tell you about those in a little bit. 1517 Metairie Road between Walgreens and Oakland Heart, Porter and Luke. Yes, we're still talking about vegetables because there's a gigantic world of vegetables out there.
Boy, is that the truth? And they're all waiting there to leave you healthy as can be.
Yes.
It really is one of the few things that you can eat out there and not worry about too much.
Well, you know, it depends on how much sauce you put on them because a lot of people really need that, but I don't. I had some really shockingly bad grilled artichokes over the weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes,
Were they fried or broiled or baked?
Oh, what I love? I love fried artichokes. You know, in Italy in April when everyone's doing the carciofi, the fried way, and it's just delectable. But I like the fried artichoke hearts at Keith Young. They have good ones in Mandeville at that Rusty Pelican.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think of other places that have them. Anybody ever... I'm sorry to say this on the air, but go ahead.
This is one that started out in the restaurants and then left the restaurants, but then came back to the restaurants.
What, fried artichokes?
It's a dish.
Oh, what is it?
Fried artichokes, they are among the best I've ever seen. My wife, who is a real fanatic about artichokes, especially baked artichokes.
Yeah, so what? Uh-huh.
She always wanted to get more of that more often in the places she goes to. But it was somehow slipped past that. Remember the old steakhouse that used to be in the middle of Fat City? It was there.
Crazy and Johnny, you're talking about the stuffed artichoke.
The stuffed artichoke.
Yes.
There. Here's the secret of that. They were coming from Dornax.
Yes.
Dornax was doing it for them and selling them to them.
Yes.
And that says a lot about Dornax, and it says a lot about the steakhouse, too.
Well, it wasn't really. Was Crazy and Johnny's a steakhouse, or was it just like a – It was. I thought it was a bar. No, I thought it was a bar. Not a steakhouse, but like a bar that had the steak special on certain nights.
$4.95
Yeah.
With a line going around the building and
yeah.
two blocks.
Well, it just goes to show you that was a long time ago, though.
It
but
was.
It just goes to show you that if you put out a good price, and when you do put out a good price, and it was good, it wasn't bad
yeah.
stuff. It just goes to show you that how much these prices are overinflated. That's what we're learning in the house. You
yeah.
know, it's like, well, I'll do the roof for this, and I'll go, wait a minute, everybody's charging me twice for that. Anyway, So, all right, back to vegetables. Yes, Tom, thank you for that dissertation on my artichoke, my interest in artichokes. I do love artichokes. But I'm trying to think of the vegetables that I really don't need to eat much of. You know, I love sauerkraut.
Sauerkraut.
I do. I remember, you know, my mom was not really so much into cooking. And a lot of what we ate came from the can, and it all went into this gigantic pot, which I wonder who got that. But she would open cans of sauerkraut and throw in some pork. And I do love sauerkraut, which is something that you wouldn't expect to hear from me, but I really do love sauerkraut. I'm trying to think of, but I don't really like cabbage all that well, except in coleslaw.
Ah.
Cabbage and coleslaw is really,
I'm with you on that.
Really good. I'm trying to think of other vegetables that really kind of rub me the wrong way. I love vegetables, so not really any of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to think of some too, and I'm coming up with
yeah.
nothing.
Like Greg was trying to tell me about eggplant, and you know, he could make me some eggplant that I would like. I'm not saying I don't like eggplant. But if I had the Covey Rise menu in front of me, I would make sure that eggplant was on the bottom because it's not something that I seek out. I don't seek it out. And I do seek out other vegetables.
And oh, is there something wonderful in a fried artichoke? Just cut into chunks.
Yes, there is something. Oh, so I didn't finish saying. The artichokes, you got off on the subject of me and artichokes. So these artichokes, first of all, I think that Houston's has maybe the best version of those grilled artichokes, and people go to Houston specifically for that. I think that the old Tony Angelo's had a really great steamed artichoke that was drizzled with olive oil and Parmesan cheese, and I think Risotto's has that now.
Yeah, I think so too.
But it's not exactly like it.
It's
but
not,
it's,
and it's
but
it's
good.
Ways.
It's good, and I think Nephews, who is in fact the nephew of Tony Angelo,
yep.
might have carried that dish over there too. So I think that's another place. If you were
yeah.
looking for that dish, you could find it. But the first rule, in my opinion, of charring artichokes. Because you have to steam artichokes first. I mean, artichokes are a
yeah.
tough leaf to gnaw.
A lot of work.
You know?
Yeah.
So you, when you're doing stuffed artichokes, that's an hour in a pot to make them easy to eat. You know, you could actually eat them all the way, but most people don't. But they have to be steamed enough for you to even be able to do that. Anyway, these artichokes that I had... Okay, so I'm glad he's back because I was wondering where he was. So you have to steam them before you can start charring them. Steve, where have you been? I was worried about you.
I went, I was on a cruise to nowhere.
How nice.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
I my voicemail, when you call my answer machine, it says, okay, it's the middle of November 2021, and Susan and I are in the middle of the ocean on a sailboat. And people go, well, my best response, a friend of mine says, damn, I missed my son's wedding if it's November 2021.
Well, I was hoping that you were just, you know, on vacation or something, because, you know, because you're so regular, it's like, you know, where is Steve? Okay. So everything is fine. Good.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Okay. Cubby Farms.
We're missed.
Well, thank you. Cubby Farms is right next to one of my wife's best friends used to have a dog kennel up there called Ponchahoa, and it was right up there. They abutted Cubby Farms. So I've been knowing about Cubby Farms for years. Mm-hmm. And my vegetables that I don't eat, beets and cucumbers.
Beets. There's a famous quoted guy whose quotations we can't use anymore because he's totally out of
vogue,
for sure. And Steve knows exactly what you're going to say because you've said it a few times.
Yeah, and they
go ahead.
It's a good quote anyway.
Beets, and he said that the least used sentence in the English language is
Can I have your beets? Yes.
My wife used to like them until I told her one time. I said they taste like dirt. And she started eating them.
To be fair, have you had beets that are fresh roasted?
Yeah.
That doesn't help.
They're not bad. They're not terrible.
I mean, I agree with you on canned beets, but the ones that are fresh roasted, those can be good.
Yeah,
they're okay.
Especially with a feta cheese or something, you know?
Well, if you put enough great sauce on whatever.
Right, that's true.
I kind of laugh at that. You know, if you put enough great sauce on dog cookies.
Anything, yeah.
Cardboard,
you know?
Yeah. Sure, yeah. It's a little hard to chew the cardboard, but...
Yes, and it doesn't have as many nutrients as beets. Apparently, beets are really good for you.
Brussels sprouts are something that my wife and I have started roasting, and we're both just nuts about them.
Yeah,
I don't really like
good.
Them steamed.
They are.
I'm just crazy about them roasted. And my wife said one time recently, she said, what do you think your mother would say if she heard you say... You know, can we have Brussels sprouts for dinner?
Yeah. Well, but to be fair, Brussels sprouts today are not the Brussels sprouts of yesteryear.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree with that.
It's like carrots that are, you know, probably from Covey Rise with the little green on the end, and they're not the same carrots that you had sitting on your plate at the school cafeteria that were drenched in margarine and really blah, right?
Yeah, undercooked and...
Yeah, overcooked. But, I mean, you know, it's all different now. You know, these things are good.
M.A. has left the room. She will be back in a moment, and we will find out more about all of this. And we're still looking for vegetables that you either love or don't love so much. Our number is 260-6368, 260-6368. Boy, that was quick.
I just had to let the doggie out.
Oh, is that what that was about?
The big beast of a dog. We'll be back. We are back. 260-6368 is the number. We have Stephen on the phone, but Stephen, if you will be patient, we just want to tell you about Porter and Luke. Porter and Luke is on Metairie Road between Walgreens and Oakwin Heart and that little shopping center there. What do you like at Porter and Luke, Tom?
Well, I like the fact that they always seem to have two or three fish, fresh fish, ready to go right on the menu. It's the fish du jour. They're not messing around with it. They're doing a job with it. And they have this quite consistently. And one of the things I like about it most is that they oftentimes will get actual
seafood.
And sometimes it's something offbeat like sheep's head.
Mm-hmm.
Sheep's head is one of those fish that I think is so much better than most people think it is that you ought to just try it for once, and you'll be over there more often.
Good comfort food of all kinds.
Yeah. And all of the dishes that go with it are accompanied.
Good beans, like butter beans and things like that, too. Porter and Luke, 1517 Metairie Road. They now have Sunday brunch until 2 o'clock. And that's not the only thing you can get on Sunday, but they do have an extra brunch menu, some brunch items in addition to their regular menu. Let's go to Stephen.
Hello.
Hello.
What days are we not going to have you this week?
You've caught on to that, huh?
Well, I heard the Oyster Lady saying she was coming in on Thursday.
Yeah, so tomorrow, Justin Kennedy will be in the seat, and then Allie Lofton on Thursday.
Okay, we're getting who's going to be here on Wednesday?
Well, yeah, Monday, Wednesday, Friday this week.
You're not going to be here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
No, we are.
You are Monday, Wednesday,
Friday. We are there Wednesday and then Friday.
Okay.
This week, we're going to keep you guessing.
You know, I'm having trouble hearing you.
I said that this week we'll keep you guessing. Go ahead.
You can't hear me?
Okay. Yeah. Also, I am still in search of a HD 2 radio. I went to Walmart and they didn't have any, and I went to Best Buy and they only had one, and it was a portable radio that you had to buy batteries for.
Yeah. Just in your car, Steven. We're not on that much.
I'm in your car.
That's what I said. Just sit in the car. You better not be in my car, but yeah. Just sit in the car. We're not there that much.
Luckily,
although it
I
is
have a
hot.
Turbo
it
diesel.
It is hot, though. That's true.
What
about streaming?
I don't have a computer.
Well, see, that's what you ought to invest in. Forget the HD radio. Go invest in a computer. Yeah. You need that for other reasons, too.
I don't want one.
Okay. What's your favorite vegetable? I can't solve all your problems. What's your favorite vegetable?
I like peas.
You know, we didn't even think
either
of peas.
Fresh peas or frozen peas.
Yeah, I bet you fresh peas are really, really, really good.
They are.
English.
Fresh.
What's the difference in English peas and peas?
None.
Oh. Well, then English peas are hot on menus.
They are very hot on
menus.
Why do people keep calling them English peas? Go ahead, what?
Yeah.
They come in two forms. One of them is the peas you get from Europe, which are much more meticulous in their making than you can imagine.
Okay.
But what I think is really interesting,
Tom, get closer to the mic.
Yeah.
Is the let's see, where was I now?
English peas.
English peas is that I remember for a while, every restaurant I went to, if you had a choice of what your side dish was going to be, I would always ask, you know, what is there to get? And the waitress would always say, English peas, not peas, just English peas, as if that were something special, when it's just peas wrapped around the husk, and not very well either.
Petit pois or little peas, right?
Little peas.
Leah, I like those too. You know what I think peas are really good with? I think that meatballs and spaghetti with a side of peas is
very
really
much so.
Good.
Can I tell a story about that?
No, go ahead.
Oh, come on.
I like mushrooms with my peas.
Okay.
What?
Okay.
What?
He likes mushrooms with his peas.
Mushroom and peas, good. Yeah.
Years ago,
there was a very well-known local Italian restaurant who has since been deceased.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a review of it. He had a restaurant on the North Shore, which was unusual in those
mm-hmm.
days. And I wrote an article about it, and I said that the peas that they were always serving in sauces and everything, I couldn't figure it out. And I gave him kind of like a not-so-great review, which was stupid because he was otherwise a pretty good restaurateur.
Okay.
Then years later, he – let's just say that he made it – not so happy that I'd come in that day.
Yeah.
But he turned out to be a really nice guy, and he let me get away with it. But he was always just poking up my...
About peas?
About peas, yeah. And about, you know, like, okay, yeah, the way you make a good restaurant is to eat peas.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was... He was one of the really good restaurateurs, but I
Say his name. Yeah. All right. So, Stephen, why do you like mushrooms with your peas? And what is the other thing on the plate? Like, you can't just eat peas and mushrooms. Like, what else is on the plate?
Yeah, usually a steak or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Or even chicken would be good.
Oh, chicken and
but
peas
also,
would be good. Mashed potatoes, chicken and peas. That's good. Go ahead.
Yeah.
What?
English cucumbers don't have seeds.
No?
Yeah.
You know what? Steve was talking about not liking cucumbers, and I forgot to ask him. He got away before I could ask him. I don't like cucumbers either, except in the following iterations. I like them in a Greek salad when there's... You know what the combination? I just realized what it is. It's the same thing in a Greek salad that's in this other salad. It's... purple onion and cucumbers together.
Well, I'm not crazy about cucumbers, but I like pickles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like pickles.
I eat pickles almost every day.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know
right
what?
Out of the
pickles
jar.
Are hip now, so, you know. Pickled everything is really hip now, but I've always liked pickles, and I love pickles on hamburgers to an extraordinary degree. And
roast
Tom, you eat pickles with your oyster poor boys too. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's your least favorite vegetable, Stephen?
I think eggplant.
Yeah. Nightshade.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means, but anyway.
That's the member of a family that gave us
the tomatoes.
Tomatoes. Eggplant, for that matter.
Squash blossoms. That's one that's getting really popular now.
Yeah.
Squash
popular.
Blossoms.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know what I got in the mail today? My mother, 92, and is moving into a assisted living facility. So
who
she's
is?
Going through things. My mother.
But your mom is? Your mom?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. How old
her
is she?
Decision.
Like 90?
92.
Okay.
So anyway, she said something the other day about her rolling pin. Now, this is a rolling pin, like a maple rolling pin that I remember as a kid that she used to roll out dumplings.
Uh-huh.
And so she sent it to me. So I just got it in the mail today.
Well,
so,
you could have picked it up when you go visit her. Don't you go like every other month?
Yeah, but she spent $12.50 sending it to me.
Well, good. I'm glad she passed it on because I'll bet you that's a cool thing. I think those wooden things last forever.
Yeah, and it's probably 75 years old, I would say.
Yeah, see, that stuff lasts forever. I have some gorgeous, gorgeous things here, and nobody wants them. Like,
what are they?
Yeah, okay. Like I said, you don't have a mic on the phone. Okay, bye, Stephen. Let's go to Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hey. Hello.
Had a good meal at Krabby Shack Saturday night.
You did?
You know, you probably just about always do. For what they charge and the food they put out, it's, you know, it's no big deal at all. But I find it really good and very, very consistent.
I agree about the consistency. We were both in the mood for the thin cut catfish, and we knew that the new Middendorf would be a mob scene. So we just decided to go over there. And it was good. It really was. But on two thoughts on the topic of the day. Roasting is the rage right now with just about everything. People used to always boil or steam, but everybody roasts now. And you hear a lot about the roasted Brussels sprouts, but the roasted cauliflower is really good.
Yeah.
And the sauce that we love on it is a piccata sauce. Olive oil, lemon juice, and capers.
Who's doing a roasted cauliflower on the North Shore?
Oh,
no, I'm not talking about doing it at home.
Oh,
I don't know anybody in the restaurant.
I was about to say, the North Shore, yeah, they don't have that over here.
But I mean,
anyway.
I do the cauliflower exactly like I would do the roasted Brussels sprouts. I start it on the top of the stove with a cast iron skillet, and then it goes under the broiler to you know, to brown it up. But that sauce, that lemon butter caper sauce with a little fresh ground black pepper, really just, I mean, cauliflower is a pretty bland vegetable.
Yes.
And you really have to make it taste. It's sort of like the tofu of vegetables. You know, you have to do something to it to make it taste.
Yeah.
But then this is the thing that tofu of vegetables.
Yeah.
that's a new one to me.
This is something I want you to try because I just stumbled onto this a few months ago. I love cabbage. Okay, I like it boiled. I like it smothered. But it's a lot of work doing smothered cabbage, and it really makes your house smell like cabbage. Somebody introduced me to baked cabbage. And what you do, you know, most of the time, if you think about cabbage going into the oven, you're thinking of cabbage rolls. And you get these very wet, very limpid pieces of cabbage with rice and meat. This is totally the opposite. Okay, what you do is you take a small to medium head size of head of cabbage, and you leave the stem on so that when you cut it into slices, you have the stem to keep it together.
Mm-hmm.
And you can lay it out on a cookie sheet or whatever, and you put a drizzle olive oil on it, and you salt and pepper it. That's all. That's all you need. And you put it in a really hot oven at about 450 degrees for at least a half an hour, preferably a little longer than that. And what you wind up with is a caramelization. A lot of the cabbage actually caramelizes.
Hmm.
And it is really, really delicious.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah.
And it does not make the house smell like cabbage. It's really pretty amazing.
How thin do you slice it?
I'd say maybe a quarter of an inch.
Okay.
They're pretty thin slices. That's why you wouldn't want to use a huge head of cabbage, because the slices themselves would be prohibitively large, and you wouldn't be able to get maybe but three of them on a cookie sheet.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get a small to medium-sized cabbage, you can cut them in small enough slices. It's very important, as I said, to leave the root on, because if you don't leave the root on, it's just all going to fall apart.
Yeah, mush,
you know?
Yeah. Right.
But I can almost assure you, if you do it once, you'll do it again, because you just won't believe how good that caramelization is.
Yeah.
So give it a try.
Vegetables do caramelize, and then they become sweet and delicious. So, but I mean, you know, you said this when you entered the conversation. You said that we're roasting things now versus boiling things. Well, yeah, it's going to be a whole lot better now. That's why everybody likes them now.
Yeah,
boiling,
and I grew up just like you did with the canned string beans with a piece of bacon in it. You know what I mean? That's what we knew back in those days. That's
right.
All it was, you know?
That's right. Anyway.
Thank God we've moved beyond that. Okay,
yes.
Have a good evening.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
And if he grew up like me and he's doing that with cabbage, then there's hope for all of us. Do we have another caller, Doug? Okay, let's do Porter and Luke then.
Porter and Luke.
The comfort food place.
Starting point for me. Turtle soup.
Yeah.
It's a really, really good version. And the only thing I don't like about it is that they also have, usually, on most nights, three or four more soups that they'll suit you with, no pun intended. Anyway, there it is. And that's reason enough to get me to go to New Orleans.
Porter and Luke.
And the people there, I like them every time I go a little bit more, because people, first of all, come up to my table and just want to say hello or whatever. Sometimes they don't know me at all or even who I am. But
it's not likely that anybody else will have that experience.
Well, I don't know. But,
unless they're dining with you.
You get to talking with them, and especially the people who are working there. And they'll get you in a way you're not expecting, because their staff, for the most
they're
part,
really is good.
In their 20s. These
really
are not,
friendly, great.
Not people who have been, you know, been in the restaurant business for a long, long time, but they act as if they are. They really have.
But they're very knowledgeable.
Very knowledgeable, but also they have a great attitude, and
yes,
I love that
yes.
about it. All of this is at Porter and Luke. They are on 1517 Metairie Road. And easy enough to find. And they're 7 days a week now, with a brunch on Sundays now, too. Something new.
Porter and Luke, great comfort food for you. Yep. Who's 6368 if you would like to get into this conversation in the last 5 minutes about vegetables? I'm trying to think of some of the other vegetables that I would actually seek out.
Does this count as a vegetable? Grits?
What do you think? Oh, speaking of grits, does it get any better in the summer to have corn that is boiled first, just a little bit, parboiled?
Yeah.
Toasted a little bit on the grill.
Yeah.
And even if it's not toasted a little bit on the grill, just boiled corn with butter just melting between the kernels and some salt. I mean, really, is that not just the pinnacle? It's such a summer thing. Corn, delish. I mean, I don't really eat a lot of corn.
No.
But I love corn, and corn done that way is just spectacular. And nobody mentioned corn, which is kind of surprising. I think of corn now as like grain for cattle, which it absolutely shouldn't be. But I think it's a shame that it's come to that. But corn can be really spectacularly delicious, I think.
You know, a lot of the things that are cooked in that category, they come together in ways you're not expecting. One of them was crab meat and corn soup. I remember that was a Paul Prudhomme item. He invented that. He threw it out there, and everybody loved it with good reason.
Corn chowder is good.
Corn chowder.
Doesn't even have to have crab meat in it.
This is, yeah, yeah. But the crab meat and all the rest of it really turned it into something, and it.
You can get a shrimp and corn chowder. You can get a crawfish and corn chowder.
Yeah.
So clearly, seafood and corn in a cream sauce is pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Pretty darn
good.
That
works pretty.
But you're talking about getting a little bit away from the vegetable. I'm talking about just the vegetable by itself. I'm thinking that vegetables all by themselves,
all right,
properly
one.
Cooked, are pretty spectacular.
I've got one. Fennel. Or
you love fennel, do you?
I do.
You know what? Celery. You always talk about braised
very
celery.
Very closely related.
Yeah. So, see, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't just say, I want fennel or I want celery.
Well, nobody does that.
Well, you can, though.
You can. I remember...
But I just always think of those things as flavor enhancers in other things.
Yeah, I mean it's
they don't stand alone
a flavor
to me.
Agent. Yeah, it's not a leader. It's
well, they, a but they can be. You know,
they
I mean I see braised celery and I see braised fennel and things like that. But to me, those are things that you chop up and throw into something else.
Yeah,
I mean kind of like if you yeah, you're absolutely right about that. You know, you can also roast onions, but why would you?
Good question.
But, I mean, you can do that.
It
you know?
Can be done, yeah.
And is garlic a vegetable? Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. But roast garlic roast garlic is pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
I think of roast garlic sometimes as just a butter. You know, like if you have a crostini on a platter with roast garlic and other things on it, I will take the garlic and spread it like a butter. And that's pretty good, I have to say.
Well, we've come to the end of our show.
Vegetables.
You know what? Today's show, I thought, was very lively, full of interesting things.
Thank you, Austin Kirshner.
And, yeah, well.
For getting the ball rolling.
Had a good gift.
Got the ball rolling. Got the ball rolling. That was quite a good gift.
And I appreciated that, and it makes me want to go on.
Yes.
You know?
All right.
We'll talk
but
to you
not
tomorrow.
Tonight. Let's
not
have a
tonight.
Good dinner. And
then tomorrow we
good
will
evening.
Reappear.
No, actually, Justin Kennedy will be in the chair tomorrow.
Oh, he will?
WWL 105.3 FM HD2. Have a great
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.